Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's get the very latest with one of the best minds in baseball, guy who covers baseball, as well as anybody out there, host of the Starkville podcast, MLB Insider. You can watch him on MLB Network. Follow him on Twitter, at Jason with a Y-S-T. Jason Stark joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jason, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good to be with you guys. How are you?
Doing pretty well, or at least as well as we can. It's 9:22 a.m. right now. What's the latest you've heard between the owners and the players on this deal?
Yeah, well, we've got a long way to go between now and that spring training 2.0 and actually playing baseball in July or August or whenever that might be. You know, we know the two sides met for quite a while yesterday afternoon, digitally, virtually. And one of the things that was interesting was they didn't spend a lot of time on the economics. The Major League Baseball did not propose that 50-50 revenue split that we'd read so much about. And they talked primarily, from what we understand, about health and safety. And you know what, guys? I feel like that was smart. That was the right call. That's the single biggest obstacle, despite all the furor about the money. They can control that part of it, right? They can completely craft an agreement on money. They can't control health and safety and logistics and whether it's possible to play and how you keep people healthy. That's going to come down to forces, at least in part, beyond their control.
What were the owners able to tell them about health and safety, like the testing and being able to keep them away from it?
Well, the plan is there would be massive regular testing of everybody, not just of players, but obviously of coaches, of everybody who has to enter the stadium every day. And that's a tall order. There are a lot of questions about how doable that is. One of the big concerns is, can you do that and yet not take away tests from the general public? You know, you don't want to be in that position where it feels like baseball players can get tested, but, you know, your grandmother and grandfather can't. So that's a big part of it. They're still waiting on the answer to questions that players keep asking, which is, what happens if somebody on my team tests positive? What happens if five guys on my team test positive? What happens if my pregnant wife is worried about me playing baseball? I mean, these are critical questions that are going to require detailed answers. And those baseball's compiling an answer to as many of those questions as possible right now. So stay tuned. We should hear something in the coming days.
Jason Stark joining us on the hotline. I'm starting to get nervous, Jason, that I'm hearing so much about this money, and it's reminding me of Donald Fehr back in 94, 95, and we know how that ended. These guys have got to see that that's not the way this needs to go during the pandemic and during a time when we could have a recession.
Yeah, that's my biggest hope. It really is. My joke for a long time was that these two sides are at such a level of distrust now that they couldn't agree on what Starbucks in New York to go get coffee at. But now the Starbucks aren't even open. So now they're in an even greater gap, I guess, of trust and understanding and ability to solve problems mutually. But let me ask you guys, right, what happens in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, if it feels like the only remaining obstacle is millionaires and billionaires fighting over how to divide the money?
I think it's going to get real nasty with the fans.
Right. And don't you think that's a factor? Like when the public begins to turn on them, how do they respond? I know they're saying right now we can't be thinking about optics. There's a lot of stuff on our plate, but there's going to be no sympathy, probably for either side. And so that's going to create tremendous pressure to get something done. And I think ultimately that pressure and the motivation to play will somehow help them get to a deal. But don't ask me what the deal is, because I don't see a path to a middle ground yet.
But is there a way that the players can say, okay, we'll cave on this 1 year during this one-time situation that's an anomaly, but we are not going to allow you to somehow levy a cap going forward based on this year? Can they do that?
Well, they don't even want to address the whole concept. You know, I don't understand exactly what the strategy is in opening with a proposal that you know has no chance to be accepted. There's no negotiation in anything where the first proposal is the one that gets it done. So we understand that. I've been told this is to send a message that we need to come up with some sort of formula. It doesn't have to be this one that enables us to tie what players earn this year to what the actual revenues are. If this were a different time, if this were two different sides, if this were a different sport with a different history, this is a concept worth exploring. I just don't know that given that history, they can ever explore this. And really, if you take a step back, it makes so much sense.
So when they say they get something worked out this year, they go back, they play baseball, they have a shortened season, they're able to crown a champion, things work out well. What happens in the future? Yeah, there are a lot of ifs. Well, but what happens in the future there? Do you see another work stoppage happening over another CBA? Because I've long said, boy, a city like Cleveland, I think our fans would really like a salary cap, but also a salary floor to try to make things equitable. Is that just a pipe dream?
It is. What you're seeing now is an indication of what's to come. You know, I don't know that it's impossible for them to make a deal when the labor agreement is up in 2 years or a year and a half. Just as the fact that they were able to reach an agreement in March didn't indicate that they're now on a path to make it a deal, right? There's no way to read that, but let's just start with the basic understanding that they don't agree on much. They don't have a high level of trust. There's not a good flow of ideas and communication. Like we're set up for labor Armageddon. I think I'm like you and everybody else. I don't want that to happen. We need some big ideas, especially at a time when the world has changed and we don't know where it's going.
Jason, what does a season like this do, a situation like this, do to some of the smaller market teams that already are cash-strapped, don't have great local TV deals to begin with, and now might not have fans as added revenue? What happens there?
Well, this is a huge issue. You know, I've had high-ranking officials from multiple small market teams tell me if the players – this is flat out. If the players won't agree to adjust their salaries more, we're not interested in playing. We can't have a situation where it's all cost and no revenue. That doesn't work for us. There's obviously some TV revenue. And so, I mean, they're looking for two things, a team like the Indians. They want the players to agree to take even less money than they've already agreed to take. And they're going to want teams like the Yankees to share local TV revenue for this year with teams like the Indians. I keep using the word path. I don't see a path toward an agreement on either of those right now, but both of those have to happen for baseball to be able to play, period.
Jason Stark joining us on the show, host of the Starkville podcast, MLB Insider. You can watch him on TV, MLB Network, one of the best that you can find. What is the future of Francisco Lindor in Cleveland?
Well, it's just another one of those murky questions now without a good answer. And I wrote a piece week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about what we could have learned in April had there been a normal April of baseball. And I feel like the Indians were one of the teams most affected by not having a normal April, not having a normal season, and coming back and playing in this really tight window of time. The plan was, we love this guy. The offers we got are not enough to motivate us to trade this guy. Let's bring him back for one more run of glory. But if it goes badly out of the gates, if April isn't what we expect it to be, I had an executive from one team say, this was the roadmap for the Indians on how to handle Francisco Lindor. Keep him and go for it this year, then market him again in the winter, or trade him at the deadline. Now, do we even know if there's going to be a deadline? Do we even know if it's possible for teams to make trades? Just think about this. If we continue to deal with the effects of a pandemic, if you trade for a player in mid-season, is it possible you have to quarantine him for 2 weeks? I mean, like every day that Francisco Lindor can play baseball for the Indians has a special value to the club and to the fan base. And so every day that goes by when the Indians don't play baseball, it is a huge obstacle and a huge issue for a team that would love nothing more than to win something with this player. The only thing that could make us revise our estimation of where this is leading is, what's the free agent market going to look like next winter, the winter after that? It's looking pretty bleak right now, right? So maybe that motivates Francisco Lindor to say, you know what, I love it here. I'm just going to make it work. There's not $400 million out there for me. But it's really hard to read those tea leaves right now.
Jason, what I'm nervous about is we already know that it was going to be almost an impossibility to keep Lindor. You talked about already small market teams with no added revenue because fans might not be coming through the turnstiles. Does that make a decision even easier for the Indians to part ways with somebody like Francisco Lindor sooner rather than later?
Yeah, you know, I had a general manager of a big market team say to me last week that when this is over, you could potentially see teams that are really strapped for cash unload a big ticket player, you know, a big salary guy. A lot of that depends on what the formula is, what the landscape for this season looks like, and how they project their own economic picture. I don't know how many teams can even take on a big contract under these circumstances, but that's something to watch, right? Teams start getting ready to come back in June or whenever it is, and all of a sudden you see some huge trades to unload money. How about that for a way to start up?
Oh boy, that sounds depressing for an Indians fan. I just keep going back to it, Jason, where I talk about all the major sports here on this show, And we're in a city where they love football, and if a guy does well, they don't believe that he's ever going to leave. And basketball is a different animal altogether. But baseball, like, yeah, I hate that I have to just accept that Francisco Lindor would probably leave. And it just it's just bad news that it's just like, no, that's just never going to change. It's still a pipe dream on both sides that they would accept something like that.
Yeah, it stinks. You know, I wrote a column in spring training. I'm sure you can still find it on The Athletic. And the premise was, if Francisco Lindor can't play out his career in Cleveland, then baseball's broken in some way. If this is a situation where you have a player who says, I love it here, I would love to stay, and you have an ownership and a front office that says, we want to keep this player, and yet nobody believes that the Indians are going to keep this player, then that's a sign of dysfunction that the sport needs to address. But, I mean, my concern now is we're in such a different time, and we don't know how long it's going to take for any team in this sport to be able to open the gates the way we remember, to take in revenues the way we remember, and project what they're able to spend in the way they have in the past, that everything has changed. I don't know what it means. Maybe if you guys know, please explain it to me, but I don't know what it means on any level right now. And if I were Francisco Lindor, if I were his agent, David Meeker, if I were Chris Antonetti, I'd be trying to answer that question. What does it mean? We just don't know.
Jason, real quick, we appreciate your time. I heard you and Bob Costas talk about an asterisk by this year's World Series champion. Mike Clevenger was vocal about that. Do you really think there could be something like that, or should be?
Yeah, Bob Costas was a guest on our Starkville podcast this week with me and Doug Glanville. And, you know, we talked about how normally in a year like this, we all attach these mental asterisks in our mind and say, this year wasn't the same as all those other years. He thinks we need actual asterisks. And you guys should know, the Indians specifically came up. And Bob actually said, I would hope that they don't win this year and have to answer the questions of whether they really broke the curse. Listen to it. It's amazing.
Jason, we can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. All the very best to you and yours.
Thanks. Same to you guys. Good to talk to you. Be well.
All right. Jason Stark joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A lot to unpack there. We'll get back to that when we come back. Also, Lima, I accidentally upset a Cleveland Browns football player yesterday. That
great.
Coming up. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.